Is this thing on? It better be, because guess who's here? It's me, Shelby, your favorite of the main monsters. That's right. Richard and Scott got sick with, as they put it, COVID. And as they told me, they are now in quarantine. And they made me say that, and I didn't want to. But they said it was the only way I could host the podcast while they're recovering. So I had to say it, and here I am hosting Month.
Month.
The podcast, that's right, because me, Shelby, the straight man to Richard and Scott's zany, wild antics, me is the person who is hosting this podcast right now. I am going to take this podcast, I'm just going to ground it a little bit, you know, bring it right down. Bring it down to earth. They're always up in the clouds, riffing off of each other, doing fun characters, things like that. We're going to bring it down into reality and then shove it even deeper than that. We're going to go into the ground. We're going to make a hole. And we're going to bury the podcast in it. And then we're going to dig a deeper hole next to that and then move the podcast to that hole. Because today, instead of talking about, I don't know, how fish are scary, instead, we're going to talk about some of my favorite things, movies for one, and corn. It's maize. Oh, the song's over. So for this month, I figured what better way to celebrate the summer and my birthday than to have a little interview with some really interesting people in the film industry. You know I love movies, and you know I love those that little yellow vegetable that we crunch off the cob. So I could not resist booking these guests. Please welcome the Corn Brothers.
Hello! Hi! We like corn!
Okay,
we like corn!
I'm sorry, just really quick, just a point of order. When you introduced us, did you introduce us as the Coen Brothers or the Corn Brothers?
I said the Corn Brothers.
Okay, sorry. We get introduced wrong a lot.
People think that they're booking the Coen Brothers?
That's right.
That must be a really confusing scenario for you. I mean, you're completely different filmmakers. You're nothing like them, right? Like,
very different. Very different.
What are your first names?
I am Ethan Corn.
And I'm Joel Corn.
Great. So, okay, so I can see even more why people are confused. You have the same first names as the Coen Brothers.
What?
Did you not know that?
First I've heard of it.
Who are these Coen Brothers?
Wow, you really come on strong with the corn. Has that helped you in your filmmaking?
Mm-hmm. It's basically our calling cards.
We upload all of our films to Cornhub.
That seems like it's a good place for it. Do they have like forums? Are people like getting to know each other on the Cornhub forums?
Cornums, yep.
Okay, good.
We like to call them kernels. But they're called Cornums.
You like to give it a different
name. We like to call them kernels. Gives it a personal touch.
Sure. So you two, you're brothers, obviously. You've known each other your whole lives. And
most of them.
I've known him all of his life, but not all of mine.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so you're older, Ethan. You must be.
Yeah.
Yes. Older brother. He's a little bit older.
Or did you have some kind of memory issue at some point?
That's also true. Actually, it's a strange thing, because I was older, and then I was frozen in cryogenic stasis, and then he was born, and he lived a little bit longer, so now he's technically older than I am.
I get confused in the cornputer of my mind.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. He does, and I tell him to stop saying it that way.
Okay.
Because it makes me so excited to eat corn!
I love corn.
Corn.
Well, we'll get into the corn and how you came to really appreciate
it. No, that's okay. I don't even want to talk about it.
Okay, really. Okay. Well, that's fine, because I really wanted to talk about your films. Like, could you just tell the audience a little bit about what you guys do? Mm-hmm. What kind of movies you make?
We're basically two screenwriters, filmmakers, and producers. We often work together. Isn't that right, Ethan?
That is correct. We direct, we write. We're kind of a triple threat.
Mm-hmm.
With the third one, I didn't say.
And the third, well, and our third brother who died.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah. It used to be I wrote, he directed, and our third brother produced.
So you guys both kind of took over the production role. Your roles really changed after that. That's understandable. That's a big life event. It really impacts you and your entire existence.
It really does.
Amazing corn.
It really
helped. How sweet the taste.
To taste a corn like
me.
And that was amazing with an I, corn. That was a song my brother wrote.
What?
My
wow.
dead brother.
Your brother wrote Amazing Corn.
He wrote
okay.
it right before he died.
Wow.
And he said, if I ever die, sing this at my funeral. And then sing it on any podcast you ever go on.
We sing it in his honor.
Yeah. What a beautiful way to honor him.
Thank you.
That's great.
It was really helpful having an older brother to lean on during those trying times.
I'm trying to get the timeline straight a little bit because we've got...
The corn line. Yeah.
We've got your oldest brother, who has since passed on.
Mm-hmm.
He was born first, and then, Joel, you were born, and then you went into cryogenic stasis, and then...
Mm-hmm.
And then Ethan was born.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, Ethan, you had some quality time with your oldest brother. Like, he's the older brother to both of you.
Yeah, some of my fondest memories of eating corn are eating corn... with my dead brother.
Yeah, and I would say that actually, yeah, Ethan sort of got to know Jimmy even better than I did. You know, spent a lot more time with him, really.
Jimmy Corn, I love you!
So...
And then he died in that tragic accident.
His favorite band was Corn.
Do you want to talk about what happened? Did it have to do with...
Oh, Jimmy cracked corn.
And I did care.
I cared so much. And I didn't want anybody to know, so I said I didn't.
That sounds extremely traumatic, I guess, but I really need to know a little bit more. When you say Jimmy cracked corn?
Yeah, he cracked corn. That's how I died.
And you're talking about the band Korn.
Well, yes and no. Isn't that right, Ethan?
Well, he would crack open a corn CD,
okay.
But then he would also crack open the husks of corn, and he would shove them both up his butt crack.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how he died.
Because
that was all in there.
I really understand.
In the butt crack. And that isn't even... He got out there and he got addicted to crack.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
And then he was driving a car filled with corn. A corn car.
I can't even talk about it.
I'm so sorry.
We can move on whenever you guys are ready. We can keep talking about it too. You seem like you might need this.
And he was addicted to crack and corn. He would put crack cocaine in the corn. And he would just drive around. And I told him, don't do that, Jimmy. Don't drive around like that, Jimmy. You're wasting so much corn.
You don't need to put crack in your corn. All
it's
you
so
need to...
good already. I love corn.
If you're going to add anything to your corn, you're going to add synonym and sucrose.
And if I was going to add anything more to corn, it would be more corn.
So it's where's
anyways, he was driving the car and then it got hit by a meteorite.
And I said synonym and sucrose because sucrose is a synonym for sugar.
Thank you for explaining that.
Well, we like to be educational, too.
Right, which brings us to your most recent project, which I'm really excited to talk about. Do you guys want to share a clip or, maybe something from the movie, something that inspired it?
Yeah, I would love to talk about our most recent project, and also we spoke to your producer, and I think we would be okay to talk about our entire, retrospective about our entire film career.
Oh, okay,
we've
great.
I know sometimes we don't like to rehash things that have happened before, and I'm not Southern.
No, that sounds great. Honestly, but I would love to talk about some of the older movies.
My brother is Southern. Okay. I was in cryogenic stasis while he was being raised in the South.
A lot of problematic stuff, but a lot of good stuff, too.
That actually makes
you
a lot of sense.
You take the good with the bad.
Sure. Okay, so I would love to talk about your older movies. I know my producers, they must have, crossed signals. They told me that you wanted to talk about the most recent one.
No, and we would love to. We've told some people in the past that we didn't want to rehash old stuff.
Yeah. Well, go ahead and rehash. I would love to hear and what you have to say about any of your older films.
Well, of course we won an Oscorn for No Corntry for Old Men.
Of course, a classic.
Yes, I saw that one in the theaters. It was a really intense experience.
And then Ethan, you had another movie that we did too. You wanted to mention?
Yeah, we did Orville Redenbacher. Where Art Thou?
We did that one. We did the big LaHusky.
Okay.
A husk like corn.
Yeah.
Corn.
That one I saw when I was really young, and I always think like I didn't get it then, And I like how you can really grow. You can see how you've grown based on your opinions of Corn Brother movies.
Like a stalk of corn.
Yeah.
It's always a process.
We grow like stalks of corn.
We continue to grow and learn just like corn grows.
We did Intolerable Corn Tea.
Mm-hmm. We did Amazing Arizona.
Yeah.
Bridge of Spicy Corn.
Bridge of Spicy Corn. Now that's sort of if you've ever had elote style.
Joel, you almost sounded like someone I know really well. Okay, that's great. Yeah,
Corning.
Unbrocorn.
We did a movie called True Grits, and now we're not totally sure what grits is made out of.
We did Suburbicorn. We did Kale Caesar Extra Corn.
Suburbicorn, now that was directed by the Kloon Dog, but we got in on it a little.
We got in on that action.
We were involved with the process.
Triple threat, baby.
Mostly we sat behind him and ate corn.
As you can see, an expansive body of work from these two. I'm just, again, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to me. This is really exciting for me. You guys are, you're like a couple of my heroes. Do you have a favorite amongst your movies? Like, what's your favorite Corn Brothers movie and why?
Corn Gambit.
The Corn's Gambit. We made that for Netflix.
Netflix-corn, okay.
Uh-huh. And we can punch that up later. And I'm not Southern. I truly am not. I just, when I start to talk about how much I love corn.
I am Southern.
And you are
Southern. And you are Southern, right?
I have to say, every time he says that he's not Southern, I have to clarify legally that I am Southern.
Well, I have a lot of questions about that, but let's go back to my original question. Mm-hmm. Ethan, you were mentioning the Corn's Gambit.
The Corn's Gambit
is one of your favorites.
Yeah,
oh, it's both
too.
Of you too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
100%. Anything that Ethan says on the subject, I feel also.
Okay, great. Well, that makes it easy.
So, in fact, Ethan, you could just take this one away and talk about how Corn's Gambit is something made by us, the Coen brothers, and why that is our favorite movie we made.
I think Joel, and I'm sorry, I forgot your name there for a second, the damn Coen computer of the mind.
Well, it's hard because it's so similar to Jimmy.
Yeah, I love Jimmy.
I miss Jimmy, and I love Coen.
Well, I'm sure his spirit really shines through you guys, so whenever anyone watches one of your movies, they're really experiencing your brother, and they're feeling him, and he's there with you, you know? Like, you let him move through you and honor him in these moments.
It's our maison d'etre.
It's our maison d'etre. And I'm not Southern, but I think a lot of people have talked about how, you know, in our body of work, both our screenwriting, how much they like that, and also our ability to establish mise-en-scene. mise-en-scene. In our filmmaking, we're known for having a good mise-en-scene. But no, Ethan was going to talk about Coen's Gambit.
Yeah, no, but here's why I gotta clarify, because I wasn't talking about the Coen's Gambit, because you're right, we had very limited involvement in that one. I'm talking about Coen Gambit, okay? You don't remember Coen Gambit? It was a very early film Joel.
I might have gone back into cryogenic stasis.
It's basically Mordecai.
So the thing with me is I've sort of been taken in and out of cryogenic stasis throughout my life, like the Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes.
It's basically Mordecai, but if it was Mordecorn.
Corn the guy. I wanted to call it Corn the guy, and then it became Corn the guy, and then Corn the guy, and then Mordecorn at some point. And at that point, I felt like, you know what? This isn't even my project anymore. I might as well go back in cryogenic stasis. So I put myself into it.
Well, all creative projects go through different levels of involvement. And there's a whole arc to the process. I know it well. So back to you guys. And you were mentioning how well you're known for, you know, setting the scene. What goes into something like that? Do you start out with just like a vision, or do you start out with a script? Like, how do you evolve from nothing to this amazing movie that you create?
Yeah, thank you for that question.
I start with Coen.
I was going to say, yeah, no. Ethan and I, we have a very interesting process where we sit down and we always start with a can of creamed Coen. And that's before we even have a pencil or a paper. We sit down together at a table, can of creamed Coen. And then at some point, one of us says, we should probably get a pencil and paper to write the script. And then one of us has to go find some. And it's kind of hard to find them sometimes.
And while we're looking for the pencil and the paper, one of us makes the joke every time without fail. I wish that we could write this with Coen on Coen.
Mm-hmm. Also, our favorite search on Coen-hub.
Which is also where your movies are.
I like BDSM Coen.
I did not expect the conversation to go that way. A little intimate for what I was expecting. I thought we would focus more on your professional work, but we have been through, you know, the death of your brother. I feel like we're getting to know each other pretty well. So if you want to share something more personal about your films or about your lives right now, I'm sure people would love to know.
You just really get, it's really just your interviewing that gets it out of us, you know? It's your...
Well.
Really, I've been opening up to you in a way that I've never have, and I've sounded more Southern than I ever have.
Now that I have heard before. Just the Southern part. Something about me, it gives people a twang.
You're like a Marc Maron.
That's what I'm trying to be. My co-host on the show, or the actual host of the show, doesn't understand the talent he has working, whatever. It's not about me. It's about you guys. I gotta know more. So I know one of my favorite, I loved, like I said, I saw No Country for Old Men in theaters. It was very intense.
What did you think?
Well, I thought it was, I mean, the the whole look of it, the color scheme, all the yellows and browns, incredible, with like a hint of green, you know, mm-hmm. really representing. Oh my God, that's cool. Those are the colors. I just realized mm-hmm. you put the colors of corn in the movie. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amazing
corn. Oh my God, I'm doing it now.
How sweet the taste. Corn. That popped a corn like me.
Wow, you guys are really in sync, and like, clearly you're feeling very emotional during that.
Sorry, did you just say we were in sync or that we're insane?
I said in sync.
Oh, okay. Because we have a problem of going in interviews and people telling us we're insane.
I can't imagine.
Because we are.
Oh, okay. Well, then I can.
Only clinically.
Right.
Cornically.
You know, I'm starting to think.
Cornicles from the Greek myth.
Can I tell you guys? Okay, let's talk about another one of your movies, because I'm having trouble remembering No Corn Tree, and I'm wondering if I dreamt that, and it's a little, whatever. Okay, I'm focusing. Shelby, come on, here, present, you're here.
Would
okay.
you like, we actually, we brought the original screenplay of Nor Corn Tree for Old Man, and we do have it, and I'm not Southern, but he is. And,
I am Southern.
And we, if you wanted, we could even sort of read through it, and you could sort of stop us whenever you want and sort of talk about, the process. I mean, that's what this podcast is, right? Is really getting into the nitty gritty, and we don't know what grits are made from, but it could be corn.
Yes, and the labyrinth, the maze that is
screenwriting and filmmaking. And I think it could be very instructive for lots of young little kernels out there who are hoping to get into the industry.
That's adorable. You gotta love an artist who gives back to their field. Okay, I would love to hear parts of it, because then it'll help me remember the movie, I guess. I'm so sorry, but okay. Let's hear parts of it. I would love to hear it.
Okay. I'll read the stage direction, and I'll
read both parts.
No. Well, I'll read this. I'll start.
Do you want me to read? We'll just go. Do you want me to read stage directions? Do you
no.
Okay. All right.
We'll just wrap. Interior gas station / grocery day. Anton Chigurh stands at the counter across from the elderly proprietor. He holds up a bag of corn.
How corn?
69 corn.
This and the corn.
Y'all get any rain up your way?
What way would that be?
I seen you was from Dallas. Chigurh tears open the bag of corn and pours a few corn into his hand.
What corn business is it of yours? Where I'm from, corny bro.
And Shelby, feel free to stop us whenever.
I was just entranced. I was about to say, oh my gosh. It. You know what? Incredible dialogue. You're really capturing. Ethan, you must have written this part. I mean, you must have tested it out. And like, when you're writing stuff like this, when you're writing dialogue, do you test it out with each other? Reading it back and forth to each other?
Oh yeah.
We also spit the kernel of corn
back and forth
into the air. The other one catches it. We spit it back.
That's
it's so that we can get the mouth feel of where the sound's gonna go.
It's a team building exercise.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. The coordination it must take to catch this.
The coordination.
The coordination.
You got me. Okay. So
let's jump back into the scene. I didn't mean nothing by it.
Didn't mean corn?
I was just passing the time.
I guess that passes for manners in your corn-cracking view of things.
Well, sir, I apologize. If you don't want to accept that I don't know what else I can do for you, Anton Chigurh stands chewing corn, staring while the old man works the register and puts change on the corner. Will there be something else? And then Shelby, feel free to stop us whenever.
I was about to say, wow, you guys, you, like, okay, are these characters based on someone you know in real life? I mean, obviously, Sugar is a, like, an incredible character, very scary, frightened, all of us were in the movie theater. And is that, where did that come from? Like, what did you feel that made you, like, understand how to write someone so scary?
I went a whole day without corn, and I think I think Joel can corner with his experience.
Sure, I got out of cryogenic stasis, and I was working then. I think as a clerk at a hotel, and I was seeing all of the interesting people who would come and go from all over the world. I would see, here's a guy, there's a guy, everywhere a guy. The guys come, the guys go.
And you saw someone who inspired this character?
Well, I saw a lot of people and they scared me and I jumped back into cryogenic stasis.
What, how long, how many years of your life do you, would you say you've spent in cryogenic stasis?
Oh, it's hard to calculate. How, Ethan, how old would you say that you are now?
Well, I am Southern.
Mm-hmm, and I'm not.
I am about corndy.
Corndy.
Mm-hmm.
About corndy five.
You know, there was a second, I was like starting to remember the movie, and now I'm thinking again that that's a dream, and what I'm actually remembering is No Country for Old Men by the Coen Brothers.
What?
I know, what? I know, that must be, I mean, you get mistaken for them all the time. It's like, but I didn't realize that they, people, that the names were so close together.
People mistake us and our movies so often, and yet I never remember who they are.
I don't know who they are.
I've never heard of them.
The only Coen I know is Seth. I love the OC.
I love that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was, I've seen the first and the last episode.
And I was definitely in cryogenic stasis during the entire run of the OC.
That's quite a while.
I was always expecting that the sequel to the OC would be, or the prequel would be the NR. And that if you flipped it, it would be C-O-R-N, corn!
Well, it took place in Orange County.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, it did. In, oh wait, Orange County.
Orange County!
Now,
it's so weird when you say it, it sounds right, but I'm like, I sort of know it isn't. I don't, forget it, let's just talk more about your movies.
Yeah.
I would love to hear more of that scene, or if you have another scene going on.
I think we have another scene.
Oh, great. Yeah, so what's another... this from? If you want to introduce it.
This is from Orville Redenbacher, Where Art Thou?
About the popcorn pioneer?
Well, it's about them trying to find his missing bags of popped corn.
And this is a little controversial. One of our biggest things that we want to do, and this is part of the reason we came on this podcast, is that we hate popcorn.
Oh, okay.
Why would you take something pure and unadulterated, like a can of corn, and turn it into something trashy like popcorn?
It's dried
out. You're taking all of the juice out of it.
It's dried out. It's dried. It makes my tongue go, ah!
Owie, owie! Ow. And so we wish that you could go to a theater, go up to the concession stand, and instead of ordering a big tub of gross popcorn, you can just order a can of cream corn with no utensils, and just everyone would sit in the theater just pouring it into their mouth the way God intended it.
I do like the popcorn buckets. I'll be honest. I think that they could maybe take one of them big popcorn buckets and they could fill that with cream
with
corn.
Cream corn.
And then you could just slosh it back.
Yeah, and you do get it all over you. That's for sure. There's corn all over you. But that's just part of it.
That might, I mean, it would make the movie going experience different, for sure. I mean, they have those like restaurants where you can order food while you're watching your movie, right?
Exactly. That's what we're talking about. An upscale dining experience.
Yeah. With buckets of creamed corn.
Ordering food for your clothes, because your clothes are going to eat a lot of that
clothes
corn.
Clothes need to eat, too. Hey, clothes need to eat, too. Shelby?
Clothes need to eat too.
We always say, that's our catchphrase.
I feel a little out of the loop, to be honest. I'm not sure that there's a way for me to guess what that means. I've never fed my clothes anything. Is it? It's not literal, right? I guess.
It's both literal and figurative. So anyways, this is a scene from Orville Redenbacher's Where Art Thou? And this was our piece about popcorn.
Yeah, about finding a whole stinky load of lost popcorn.
Yes.
And to set the scene, we're at this, like, river, okay? And we see this bag of popcorn that's just empty, okay? And there's water running because we're at the river. And this is what happens. Everett.
My corn.
Look at this. And they look at the empty bag of the popped corn that's in the water.
Corn.
Sweet Jesus, Everett. Look what's popping in the bag. The empty bag of the popcorn is going boop, 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 boop.
Corn.
And then a toad hops out of the bag.
He ate all the corn.
There was a toad in the bag.
And the whole time there was a toad in the bag.
Wow.
And that toad was supposed to really represent capitalism and how big popcorn is trying to influence us in more ways than you'd think.
Well, thank you.
Part of the reason why we have Joe Biden as our president.
It's about how popped corn is totally awful.
I got it.
Not for us.
Well, thank you for reading that. It was like a sort of reading or performance. It was really special, whatever you call it. Just thank you so much for coming here and doing that today. I would love to talk a little bit more about the corn aspect of this. Like, I understand movies, you know, people get into movies, they see them when they're kids and they think, I want to work on those, you know, but I want to know how you got into corn. How you managed to combine your love of corn with your love of film, because that's something, you know, I'm interested in doing as well.
I feel like we would both watch these movies and we would be like, where's the corn?
There's not enough corn in these.
There's no corn in these.
I mean, Citizen Kane should be Citizen Corn.
Should be Citizen Corn. Because we all the time would just be cracking open corn. Mm-hmm. We'd be shucking it, eating it,
sucking it,
doing everything with the corn.
Cracking it, eating it, shucking it, sucking it, and fucking it.
Well, I've heard a lot of naughty things go down on the farm.
Nobody would show our take on the world in films. And we thought, now that is bizarre. Are we some freaks? And then we looked at ourselves and we said, no. And we pecked each other on the lips.
Of course, as we always do. You know, I think that making art is all about sharing perspectives that haven't been seen before.
Yeah.
And that's what we always try to do with our filmmaking. We try to have real grounded characters.
Grounded, yes.
Yeah. It feels farm to table, like these characters have grown straight out of the ground. They're planted. They're firm. They're juicy. And I want the actors to have roles they can just bite into. And sometimes we butter them up first. Sometimes we offer them, okay, I'm going to pay you special salary, give you a special trailer, whatever it is. But any whatever it takes, we like to work with people at the top of their craft, the best actors, give the best performance, eat the best corn.
Wow.
Now, we're dealing with a bit of a shortage there right now, though, and this is something that we did want to talk about, is that we're not allowed to film anything right now because there's this virus going on in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been stuck in quarantine for so long that I feel like a husk of who I once was.
It's so hard.
And I talked to other filmmakers in similar situations, you know, James the Gunn, you know, and James the Gunn just can't shoot right now. And we need to get our rights back.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I understand it must be hard to not be able to work on your craft, but aren't you worried about, you know, the potential for people to fall ill?
Sorry, did you
ill?
Say work on your craft or work on your crap?
I said craft.
Sorry. In a lot of these interviews, we've had a problem where people are saying that it's crap.
I'm so sorry to hear that. Who would ask you to be on an interview if they're just going to insult you like that? That's...
Roger Ebert, Chris Hardwick, Mark Maron.
Our mom.
Who else?
Well,
oh, Leonard Maltin. We went on his show.
Sure.
Ellen DeGeneres.
I didn't think she was very DeGeneres at all.
Did they all think that they were booking the Coen brothers? Or was it, like, who knew?
You know what? Now that you say that...
They did use that name.
It is possible. I just didn't know who they were.
Yeah. So how did they reach you? Is your email address, like...
My email is joel.cohen.filmmaker@gmail.com.
Because that's how we pronounce corn. It's corn.
I don't pronounce it that way because I'm not Southern, but I write it that way to honor my brother who is.
Got it. So not only are you honoring Jimmy with your films, you're also honoring each other.
Yes. Did you know that very early on in our career, we actually made the movie Field of Dreams?
Wow.
Yeah. But then they reshot it because our version was just about the field. We filmed the field because it was so beautiful. There was so much corn.
I mean, I haven't seen Field of Dreams, but your version sounds better to me.
Mm-hmm. And that's just a little bit of cinema history.
Wow. So they reshot it because it was too much field, not enough dream.
Yeah, and I thought we could just take the of dreams right out of it.
I don't think it was a cornfield, though, was it?
When we did it, it was.
Got it. So they even reshot the field itself. They recast the field. That's horrible. Why would they release it as the same? Man, they really did you dirty, the studio.
Well, and we've heard a lot about this Snyder cut, and we've been thinking maybe they'll release our version of Field of Dreams someday.
Because if the pretzel guys could get their cut.
Right. If the pretzel brothers, if the Snyder brothers who make the pretzel movies could get their cut. On HBO Max.
Why can't we get our cut?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I say cut, I also mean money. We have no money.
And we also mean corn.
And also, we're lost in this corn maze.
Yeah, you did happen to be in this corn maze that I was also lost in. And sometimes I still do feel like I'm dreaming, but I'm really remembering now some of the scandals from your career. I mean, you had, obviously, Joel, you were in and out of cryogenic stasis, and Ethan, you got maybe into a little bit of trouble without that calming presence of your older brother. I wasn't sure whether to bring this up, but it wasn't on the no-go list that my producer gave me, so could you talk about that a little bit?
And see, this is interesting because that should have been on the no-go list. Your producer, who's also our producer, he just fucks up everything.
Okay, when you say your producer is also our producer, you're pointing over there at that scarecrow and...
The scarecorn.
My brother needs corn to be in every word. I'm a little more conservative. I pick my shots a little bit more.
And I'm his brother.
And that's okay. That's why our dynamic works. But anyways, yeah, our producer is a scarecrow. Well, we lost Jimmy, who was our producer. And now we found a scarecrow who'd be both our producer in films as well as our manager and agent as well.
Wow. I keep saying, wow, I'm just so amazed by you guys. Like, I can't believe I'm here with some of my heroes.
And I'm not even sure how much time we have left because our producer, the scarecrow, keeps tapping his wrist. Yeah. Like, there's not a lot of time, but yeah. I think the wind might just be blowing his arms.
Oh. Right, I keep forgetting that's not a real person. Okay, yeah, so we can wrap it up.
Get off of him, you crows! Get off of him! No, he says we have another 20 minutes or so.
Oh, great. Well, then we should definitely talk more about the industry itself and what it's been like for you guys. Mm-hmm. Just moving, especially having each other. A lot of people, they're moving through this very cutthroat industry on their own, but you guys are always together. You always have each other. Mm-hmm. You're working hand in hand. I feel like that could be a blessing and a curse.
Of course.
A lot of times, literally hand in hand, we're usually holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can speak to this, is that a lot of times I'll write, you know, a rough draft of the script. Once I find the pen and the paper, and then Joel
punches
it up, and he adds so much more corn in places that I never saw it. And I like to call that the moving the Joel posts. You know, it's like that we have a good script, but then he just pushes us further.
We had an Ethan
and
post.
I call that moving the Joel.
And then we moved the Joel post.
Yes.
And in fact, usually he'll write a rough draft. He'll spend a lot of time on it, put in a lot of great work. I'll come out of cryogenic stasis, and I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so cold. I'm so discombobulated. I don't know what year it is. And I just start throwing things, and I'll take his script, and I'll throw it out entirely. And then Ethan will go and he'll write another script.
But it's better. That's why I call it moving the Joel posts.
And it's always better. I don't even read the first one. When I come out of cryogenic stasis, I'm like a feral animal.
Mm-hmm.
I got this look in my eyes. You can't even recognize it as human. I'm throwing things. In fact, Ethan doesn't let me be around any other people because he's afraid, you know, what might happen. He puts me in a padded room when I come out of cryogenic stasis. It's just me, a table, and a script. And that's our process. And several cases of cans of creamed corn.
I guess it's got a lot of nutrients in it. So if that's what you need when you wake up. So when you two go to like pitch meetings, things like that, or do you even pitch anything anymore? I mean, you seem like you probably just get to make whatever you want.
Well, we did have to do pitch meetings for Field of Dreams. That's
right,
for sure.
Right, right. And so when you go into something like that, what kind of dynamic do you have? Which one of you is the more talkative one? Which one of you is like the quiet one, or is it not like that? You're kind of more equal.
I go in there like I'm a Cornish hen.
Mm-hmm. Always known as the most confident of hens.
I'm a little flabber and I'm going, you're going to eat me all up. You're going to eat up everything, I got to say.
And I usually come in and I just hide in the corner.
The corner.
Sometimes I bring my cryogenic stasis in the pitch meeting with us. And if it's not going well, I'll just put myself right back to sleep right in the middle of the meeting. And then he has to wheel me out.
Do you have to explain what's going on to the... Or does
we
everyone
usually
know?
Don't.
Okay. All right.
At most, I'll say he's got some corns on his feet.
Okay.
And they usually all accept that.
They're uncornfrible.
Yeah.
Now, earlier you mentioned Kale Caesar Extra Corn, which I also saw in theaters. And you bring in sort of these new actors. A lot of times you want someone who's less known. But you still manage to pick these actors who really give a great performance. I'm thinking specifically of, what's that boy's name?
George Clooney.
Yeah, George Clooney.
The young boy, we discovered him, George Clooney.
The young boy you discovered, George Clooney. Mm-hmm. I mean, for some reason, I remember him having more corn syllables in his name. I don't. Okay.
Well, in the credits for our movies, we add corn to people's names.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot
of sense. He prefers to be called George Clooney.
Yeah.
And usually in most of the projects we work on with him, now that you're mentioning it, he does say, so we start filming and then at some point he says, I'm at the wrong film set.
We've also worked with Joanna Kearns, but we put her in as Joanna Corns because
it was a tough decision to make because we were like, do we say Joanna Kernels?
Yeah.
Or Joanna Corns, but we ultimately went with Corns.
Because it's not kernels, it's cornels. They got growing pains. The Corns.
And that's the punchline. The punchline was then.
Oh, wow. So you guys are really experienced comedy writers, too. I mean, all of your stories have drama, but you also have comedy.
Yeah, well, we wrote the Garfield movie.
Right. Actually, I was going to bring that up. I know that happened when Bill Murray was on set. He was like, I thought this was a Coen Brothers movie, and he was surprised when it was just the
you
director
know,
was...
every other actor we've worked with has been too embarrassed to admit publicly. Bill Murray is the first one who said, I ended up on the wrong film set.
So... I'm sorry, so...
And ironically, we didn't really do anything about corn in that movie. It was just a crock of shit. We were like, this is a departure for us? And then we did the one without corn, and we were like, no, we gotta go back to corn, never again.
Yeah. Well, you have to do what your heart tells you. I mean, you do one for you, one for them, right? Is something they say a lot.
We did do one for them, and then we did one for us, and then another one for us, and then several more for us.
Well, there is a market for it after farmer's market, am I right? There, for your kind of film. Sorry, I'm sorry.
What?
There's a market for your kind of film.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, one that mentions.
I'm
corn.
Listening.
And I'm Southern.
People love it. Not. I mean, I know. I swear I remember seeing your movies in theaters. There were other people there. So I know that people go see your films. And I've talked to people about... I mean, I'm talking to you about them now. Here, I'm here talking to the filmmakers. Obviously, you're real and those movies really happen.
What's that, Stan? He says we're doing good. Oh. We're doing good on time still.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and you are doing good. You're doing great. I mean,
the Scarecrow's name's Stan.
You honestly, you haven't heard this podcast. This is an amazing episode of this podcast. It's so grounded. I love it.
I believe it. Me too, yeah. Seems like it could be the best one yet.
You work with all of these impressive actors, these famous people, celebrities, truly, who are just recognized on the street. Is there anyone you've met who you've been like really actually starstruck around? Is there anyone you admire like that?
Yes.
Stan,
our scarecrow. We like to call him a scarecrow because he's always staring at me.
Stan, right now, I want you to come down here and tell that one story, Stan.
Okay.
What? Wow. Okay, yeah. Stan, let's get you mic'd up. Okay.
Hello. I've been up there for so long.
I'm talking about the story where you're a cornel in the army, Stan.
Oh, Major Payne. Yeah. I remember that one.
I'm sorry. I've been up on that... up there on the stick for so long.
Do you need a glass of water? Can I get you anything?
Yeah, sure. I'll take that. Glug, 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 glug. Oh, thank you.
It's cool you made the noise while you did it.
Yeah. No, I always do. I'm a consummate professional.
Yeah. Oh, you sound much more comfortable now that you've had a sip.
Thank you so much. Yeah, being up on the stick like that, it's like cryogenic stasis, but for scarecrows. Yeah, I was in Major Payne, the Damon Wayans movie.
And from what I heard, it was a major pain in the ass.
It was a major pain in the keister, yeah.
So, Ethan, you must have been a really big fan of this movie if you you were so starstruck when you met Stan.
Oh,
we were both big fans, yeah.
Wow. Big fan.
And Ethan, I will never forget what you said one day when we first met Stan, and you went up to him, and you said to him, what did you say?
I said, Major Payne, a movie about a colonel in the army that's also bread.
Yeah. And of course, I was just so honored for the recognition, you know.
Because the bread franchise, the Payne, which is bread, really told us.
The French pronunciation.
Mm-hmm. Really told us.
Have you ever been to that restaurant? Oh, Bone Payne.
Yeah, I see it in the airport all the time.
That's maybe the only place you could find it.
But it spoke to us, and it told us there is a place for our corn, our crazy corn thoughts. There's a cornucopia of goodness out there for us.
Obviously, there's a place for your kind of stuff. It's right here in my heart. I love it. Stan, how do you have to say about your... What does it feel like to be so close to greatness all the time?
Of course, it's overwhelming sometimes. And of course, you know, he said that thing to me about the cornucopia, and I didn't understand what he meant at all, but I just rolled with it. And I thought, these kids are raw talent.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that, you know, I've worked with the weigh-ins before. You know, I've worked with...
Well, the weigh-ins were your way in. That's what you said.
I've worked with a Steven Martini. I've worked with a Michael Ironside. all of the greats, and none of them really... I mean, weigh-ins brothers or corn brothers. I mean, what is whey? Milk protein? If I could weigh in on this, I would say, oh, corn, definitely.
Wow.
Anyways, this is your guys' thing. I'm going to go back up onto the stick, which is like cryogenic stasis for scarecrows.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for joining us, Stan.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it hurts to be alive. I wish someone would kill me.
I love Stan.
I love that guy so much.
Yeah, maybe we should. I'll have the studio leave him a gift basket. Some fruits and chocolates, maybe.
Oh, bottles of water. Maybe a good face mask and like an iPad Pro.
All right, I'm going a little big budget there. This isn't the Oscars.
Oh, okay.
Thank you again so much for coming on. I feel like we're nearing the end of our exploratory discussion.
Did you want to hear a clip from our new movie?
That's exactly what I was about to ask. We're looking forward to the future. What is going on in this new movie? I'd love to hear a clip.
Yeah.
Okay, let's spin the wheel.
Okay. Yeah, no, I would love to. And we're about to hear it right now.
Money, Lebowski. Where's the money, Lebowski?
Husky.
Where's the fucking money, shithead?
Oh, it's, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
Don't do that.
I love corn.
I love corn. Man.
See what happens, Lebowski? You see what happens?
Nobody calls me Lebowski. You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
This corn is so good.
Your name's
good.
Lebowski.
I love corn, dude.
I love corn.
My wife, Bunny. Do you see a wedding ring on my finger? Does this place
this
look like a fucking
This corn is how
berry?
Jesus rolls.
The toilet seat's up, man.
I think Jeff Bridges is doing so good right now.
What the fuck is this?
Do you think they can hear us?
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Probably not.
Woo?
Yeah.
Isn't this guy supposed to be a millionaire? We're like
Jeff Bridges of spicy corn.
Yeah, what do you think?
He looks like a fucking loser.
Hey, at least I'm housebroken.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So when does this come out?
Oh, it comes out, you know, we're looking for a distributor.
Oh.
When are you looking to go to the theater?
Oh, yeah. When
That's
it work
a great
for
question.
You? maybe we should schedule this around you.
I did not ask for that. But it's an important consideration. You know, movie theaters can't really open up 100% capacity just yet, right? So maybe you want to wait on it. But there's always video on demand, the streaming service. Maybe one of them can pick it up and give you the kind of launch that you deserve.
Yeah, what's your IP address?
I don't actually know. I'd have to look it up. I can do that if you want me to, but it might take a little bit.
Do you
want
to hear another quick clip from that movie?
Yeah, while I look up my IP address.
Yeah. Here's another scene from The Big Lebowski.
$20,000, man. And, of course, I still get to keep the rug.
Just for making the handle?
Yeah. They gave dude a beeper. Also, whenever these guys call.
What if it's during a game?
Oh, I told them if it was during league play.
What's during league play?
Life does not stop.
Joel, pass the corn!
Oh, okay, sorry. I'm such a corn hog.
When did he start falling?
Oh, that's you, corn hog.
They really can't hear us, right? That sound guy over there, it's all gonna be 80 yard.
You look for the person who will benefit.
80? Corn!
I'm the walrus.
I really can't help.
I am the walrus.
I slip corn into everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a compulsion.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Corn compulsion.
Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov.
The fuck is he talking
originally
about?
That line was supposed to be shut the fuck up Corny. The character was not going to be named Donnie, it was Corny. That was a note from Stan at the last minute.
Ready to be fucked, man? I see you roll your way into the semi.
They're polishing. They're in a bowling alley and they're polishing corn.
Wow. We're going to fuck you up.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's just like
and that's John Turturro doing a really good Spanish speaking accent
is that what this is a picture of?
That we thought was very appropriate
at the time.
At the time, and this is our newest movie.
It is your newest movie, right? Vagina. Well, I would love to do a part two of this someday, but I think we're running down the clock here. Do you have any final words to leave our listeners with? Like words of encouragement for someone hoping to get into the film industry?
Yeah, maybe. I think I have some final words, and then maybe Ethan, you might have a final word as well.
Okay, we'll move the Joel posts to me after you talk.
I want to say to all the kids out there looking to get started in this industry that is so hard, this business show, sometimes I like to call it shoe business because it feels like a real kick in the keister, you know? But if you're out there and you're young and you're a dreamer and your art is true and your heart is real, keep your eye to the stars and you'll make it. And get an agent. Get a reel. Be active online. You know, do some student films. Get started however you can. Get your hands dirty. Do whatever you can.
That's great.
There's
that's
no shame. Nice.
And yeah. Follow your dreams. And then Ethan.
I was going to add. Watch as many movies as you can. As many as you can. And if you don't know what to do with your time, watch a movie. If you think, I got a few minutes before I gotta leave for work, watch a few minutes of a movie. And then keep watching the movie. And don't go to work. Finish the movie. Then go to work. And then they say, why were you late? And you go, I was watching a movie. And they go, okay, I love movies. People just seem to, it's a universal thing. People watch these things. People like movies. And if you're hosting a podcast and you don't know what to talk about 1 month, you talk about a movie.
Right, yeah.
You just talk about a movie.
I totally understand that.
And that was some really great advice from my brother Ethan. And if I could have one final word that I thought maybe would be his final word that I was maybe setting him up for,
yeah,
would be my final word. Corn!
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't catch that. I got a little distracted.
No. You saw the game that I was playing and you wanted to play too. And I appreciate that.
You see, I have SUBTARCT, and that is subtract, because everything that I say subtracts from the conversation.
And if we were to make that joke make sense, it would be something like, instead of having ADD, he has SUBTRACT.
I was just itching to get that one out. I had it written down, and I couldn't find a place.
We could tell.
You lost your voice a little bit there.
We could tell. Well, okay, he's usually Southern.
Again, well, thank you two so much, and I see you are walking away. Well, everyone, those were the Korn brothers.
Korn!
Loved having them on. I loved hosting this. Hopefully, Scott and Richard, they are slowly fading from my memory, but hopefully they'll let me host more episodes someday. We'll see how this goes. So everyone, please hype up this episode. Let everyone know you listened. Share it. Subscribe to it. Post about it. Again, I am Shelby. This has been Maze. I'll catch you on the flip side.
Shelby, wake up. Rivet.
I love Rivet. Horn too.
Shelby, wake up. Rivet. Rivet.
Shelby?
Shelby, wake up.
No.
Rivet.
Shelby?
No.
Rivet.
Shelby?
No.
Shelby.
It was all a dream, Shelby.
Rivet.
What? Oh, shit. Rivet. My alarm's going off.
It was all a dream. We're your friends.
The toad. I just escaped from a bag of popcorn.
The toad who ate the corn. Your friend, the scarecrow.
Oh. Yeah, and my friends.
We were all there. We were in your dream, weren't we?
I'm assuming. You were like different people, and
except the scarecrow, who was the same.
The scarecrow, Stan. Right. It was nice to meet you.
No,
I am Stan.
No, it's good to see you. Yeah, good to see you.
Yeah. I had this dream that it was these. I was interviewing these guys who I think were just the Coen brothers, but they were obsessed with corn.
This lady's crazy.
And you know them.
I know the Coen brothers.
You're Winklevoss the fairy?
I'm Winklevoss the fairy.
Yeah.
I'll give you three wishes.
Okay, great. Toad, is there anything you want? It's like a three wishes. I'm not going to be able to think of three.
I would like another bag of popcorn.
Okay, great. Okay,
Shelby,
first wish.
Shelby, what? You have to wake up. Shelby.
No.
Shelby, wake up.
No.
Shelby.
You were in
Shelby.
A dream inside a dream.
No. What?
Shelby.
What?
Wake up.
Whoa. Are we recording a podcast right now?
Tune in next time to find out. Bye! I like corn.
And you like corn.
And you like corn.
And I like corn.
Let's all eat corn.
I was once in major pain, but now I am in major pain. Every day is torment and it hurts to be alive. I was cursed by a sorcerer for fucking his beehive. I had sex with an active beehive. Just full of bees. And as painful as you can imagine that would be in the moment, it is nothing compared to the pain of being imprisoned as a lifeless object in the middle of an inescapable cornfield for all of eternity. No longer capable of appreciating beautiful music, of tasting great food, of being moved to tears by a truly transcendent work of art. All of this I left behind me, along with my humanity. Oh, how I long to caress my daughter's face once more and to see the strong, confident woman I imagine she's become. But the look of horror that would appear on her face upon beholding my grim visages is beyond bearing. I really enjoyed working with Damon Wayans, though he is a very gracious man, and he gives it his all in every performance he does. He never acts like a project is beneath him, and he always manages to elevate the work, even in the face of fractious and troubled productions and toxic workplace environments. He's really a treasure. Someone please send my suffering, please!
We love corn!
Hey, what's up, all you cheaters, liars, and other criminal? It's not really a crime to lie, but it could be. Anyway, this is Month.
Month.
The podcast. Hey, what's up? It's your favorite of the main Monthsters. It's me, Shelby Sweeterman. And you know what's cool about that? I didn't ask to do this, but I was asked to be here. And I thought, since Richard and Scott got sick with COVID, they're in quarantine. They told me to say that. They left me to host the podcast, and I thought, you know what? They're always going off on their wild, zany tangents. Those two always playing off each other. And me, I'm more of like a straight man, right? So I'm like, let's keep it grounded. Let's put this podcast right down there in the ground so freaking far that next time Richard and Scott show up, they won't even be able to tug that bad boy out of the ground. It's going to be like a real sword and stone.
And I have bad news is that we're not recording anymore. Is that it stopped recording.
Let's all eat corn.